This is KUT.
KUT, Austin.
Stop.
It's AT Explained. I'm Matt Largy. When you think about dance club culture, you probably think of cities like New York or San Francisco. Austin's dance club scene, on the other hand, is small, but it's mighty. And this scrappy crew has a leader of sorts, a spiritual guide, if you will. He calls himself the Godfather of Clubbing. And a listener saw him out one night and wrote to our Hi, Who Are You project to ask, what's this guy's story? So KT's Audrey McGlinchey did a little digging and a little dancing.
Tips for clubbing. One is you have to rest up. Two, hydrate. Three, you have to eat something. And four, you need to fireproof your shoes. And then you'll be ready to hit the floor.
The place is bumping by the time I get there. It's a little past 11 p.m.
Okay, peep, so here we are tonight on 6th Street at a club called the Vulcan Gas Company.
This is Yorkie Louie. He's wearing bright colors, a fur hat, sunglasses, and carrying a disco ball on a stick. It looks like a twinkling scepter, as if the Grim Reaper had a cousin who, instead of collecting souls, doled out glee, euphoria, light.
So the pop-up is hella fresh, and I'm hella rested, and I'm going to do it to death tonight. Get ready.
Yorkie calls himself the Godfather of Clubbing. That's probably because of his age. Yorkie's 67 years old. He goes clubbing every weekend, mostly with 20 and 30-somethings. Some of them are his best friends. Yorkie calls them his kids, and he's their pop-up. Now, that's a story you could have found by going on social media. But people head to the dance floor. They stay on the dance floor for a reason. That's the story I wanted to find out.
Okay, get ready for this story.
Go ahead.
I was born in New York in 1952.
Yorkie was the oldest boy of 7 siblings. They grew up on Long Island, but the city, Manhattan, was their playground.
The Lower East Side was always fun. It was like going to another world because back then it was very Hasidim. The old, like, Jewish delis with the big barrels full of pickles, and there were things hanging all over the place from the fire escapes.
Yorkie went to his first club at 19. He stayed in New York clubbing until the late 70s. That's when he followed one of his sisters to San Francisco. This was the San Francisco of hippies and punks, of Harvey Milk, Jim Jones, and the Dead Kennedys.
Everybody was just being themselves, and I just loved it.
Freaks were everywhere, says Yorkie. And among them, a man named Michael Faino.
I was kind of like intimidated by him because he had a big, huge personality, and everybody loved him.
Including, eventually, Yorkie. The two fell for each other. But after several years in San Francisco, Yorkie started getting homesick.
I was in my 20s. And the clubs closing at 2 o'clock was like, what? And I just needed to go back home.
So he and Michael moved to New York. Yorkie started working on Christopher Street in the West Village. This was the Christopher Street of the Stonewall Riots, the main street of gay New York. Yorkie eventually opened his own clothing store. He called it Reckless NYC.
It was a total, like, club kid store. No one came into the store because they needed something. Because we didn't have anything that, you know, anybody needed. We had things that you wanted.
Yorkie worked at the store during the day and hit the clubs with Michael and his friends at night. It was the early 80s. Yorkie says it was one of the best times of his life. Then, people around him started getting sick.
Scientists at the National Centers for Disease Control.
They didn't know what AIDS was. They didn't have a name for it. They were calling it gay cancer in the beginning.
The lifestyle of some male homosexuals has triggered an epidemic of a rare form of cancer.
By the end of 1982, the year Yorkie moved back to New York, AIDS had killed hundreds of people in the U.S. It was just the start.
At that time, the only people who were dying from AIDS were gay people and drug addicts. And, you know, the government just didn't care. And so we had to go out to the streets.
Hundreds of thousands of gay men and lesbian women today marched for homosexual rights.
And we had to fight.
200,000 people marched in San Francisco. Across the nation...
It took years for President Ronald Reagan to publicly acknowledge the existence of AIDS. Meanwhile, people kept dying.
I lost every single one of my friends to AIDS. It was really hard. Everybody died. You just have to sit and wonder. I sit and wonder and go, like, why am I here?
In 1993, Yorkie's partner, Michael, died. They'd been together for 16 years. One friend told me Yorkie defines his life in eras. There's before Michael, with Michael, and after Michael. When he died, Yorkie decided to leave New York.
And I went back to San Francisco because that's where I had met him. I just wanted to go back to a place where it was happy for me, so I shut my store down. And I moved back to San Francisco.
The story could have wrapped here. Yorkie returns to San Francisco, lives the rest of his life there. But that's not how this story ends.
And I gotta blow my nose.
Like any good raver, Yorkie hydrated and kept on going. San Francisco gave him his life back. He fell in love again. But a decade in, and the city he knew began transforming.
I just saw the whole neighborhood just change, and even the younger gay guys that moved in never said hello. I would say hello to them, and they would just ignore me, go running away, and I literally became invisible.
San Francisco had been a haven to so many. It was a city where the ostracized could come to feel loved and to feel safe. Yorkie's friends, who couldn't afford the city any longer, left. Yorkie became a shut-in. Things got so bad at one point, he told me, he didn't want to live. So his partner, Clyde, said, let's get out of here. What about Austin, Texas?
And that's when I just blew up. I went, okay, look, I'm traumatized right now. Austin, Texas? I'm already feeling the rope around my neck. I can never live in Texas.
But he was desperate to leave San Francisco. So in 2015, now in his early 60s, Yorkie landed in Austin. He started going out again to clubs on 6th Street. One night, his partner had to work, so Yorkie decided to go out by himself.
My plan is to walk into the club, get my beer, and walk right onto the dance floor and go right in front of the DJ so I could not see what was behind me. So if people were pointing at me or laughing at me, you know, I wouldn't know.
But that's not what happened. Instead, people started tapping him on the shoulder, complimenting him.
I love your energy. Where the f*** did you come from? I see you here all every week. You're badass on the dance floor. And that's how it all happened.
That's how Yorkie started meeting people, making friends, finding his crew in Austin. It's how he started building a community he could welcome others to.
Aliens, freaks, misunderstood, bullied, dreamers, come on in. You have a home here.
If Yorkie were an animal, what animal would he be?
Oh my gosh, what would he be?
Roxy Vanderlilly met Yorkie on the dance floor 3 years ago. He's 40 years older than her, but he's one of her best friends.
Maybe like a platypus, like you're like so confused what part of the earth he's supposed to be like crawling on or be in, but he's just like fits in everywhere but sticks out.
Yorkie often dances alone, either on stage or on the dance floor. Roxy says when he's out there, he talks to himself.
He's like, that's right, motherfucker. Like, I don't know. Like, he just kind of like is always mumbling stuff. We're like, yeah, that's right, we're freaks. Like, he's just like preaching and like really letting go. Usually he's wearing glasses so he can keep his eyes closed.
I asked Yorkie about this.
I just close my eyes and I'll think of someone that I've known, a good friend of mine that we clubbed together, and I would just see him or her on the dance floor and I would just mimic one of their moves.
Roxy's quick to say she doesn't see the age difference, that Yorkie's got the soul of a 24-year-old. But when he gets into his head on the dance floor, that's when she sees the space between them.
I haven't lost people like he's lost people, so like I don't have to keep their memories alive.
Some people dance to forget, others to remember.
He's so grateful to not be sad anymore. And as like a person that's been sad, like once you're not sad, like all you want to do is not be sad again.
Maybe because Yorkie's grieved big, grieved Michael, grieved San Francisco, he has a knack for finding people who look lost and for cherishing them.
Oh my God, you're so like adorable. I mean, like, what do you mean you didn't have any friends? How could that be? You have an amazing personality. I mean, come on.
So when you see Yorkie out, say hi. Ask him how he's doing. He might even give you some advice.
When you're clubbing, what do you have to do? You have to rest, you have to hydrate, you have to fuel up, and you have to fireproof your shoes. Am I right?
Those are the four tips.
Yeah, those are the tips.
Audrey McGlinchey, KUT News.
Make some noise from the front to the back.
Much more AT Explained at atexplained.org, atexplained.org. You can also nominate someone for our Hi, Who Are You project there, someone in your neighborhood who's making it a little bit better, and you think everybody else should meet them. atexplained.org.
Somebody tell me where the party at.
And if you like what you hear, you can become a member of KUT. You can go to kut.org/donate. We'd really appreciate your support. AT Explained is a production of KUT in Austin. I'm Matt Largie.